Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahant. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahant.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome to Elevated Places, and we are live. blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Call us at 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. And join in the discussion. We are also streaming live at 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa, thanks to Brother Michael Muhammad, and that urban talk station also carries The Time and What Must Be Done, the lecture series being delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which can be heard every Saturday at 6 Central, 7 Eastern, at noi.org/the time. And in a few minutes, I'm going to lift excerpts from Part 40 of the 52-part series, Part 40, which aired last Saturday and was lifted from a speech that Minister Farrakhan delivered 1 year ago on Sunday, October the 14th, 2012, in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the commemoration, 17th-year commemoration of the Million Man March. And it was entitled Guidance for Our President and Our Nation. And I'm going to later lift up some words from that profound message, which proved to be, with the events that took place over the last 2 weeks, absolutely prophetic with a laser precision. And so it is very important that we go over that message briefly. Before that, however, we know that tomorrow is the beginning of the commemoration in Tuskegee, Alabama, the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. And we are so blessed that my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, is on location at the Host Hotel in Montgomery, Alabama. And Brother Terrence, first of all, let me thank you for being with us as always. It just would not be the wonderful program that it is without you. Assalamu alaikum. All right, Brother Terrence, are you with us? Okay, we'll get back to...
Oh, yes, ma'am. No, I'm right here. I had the phone on mute. I apologize. Wa alaikum salam and all praises due to Allah. Happy to be on.
Yes, sir. And before you start, I do want to also welcome to the line a brother who will be playing a crucial role this weekend in the 18th anniversary celebration of the Million Man March, and that is our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam.
Is my phone on mute too?
I'm sorry.
Nah, we can hear you.
Oh, yes, sir, we can. So, Brother Terrence, you want to give us a little insight into what we can expect this weekend, because you're right there, one of the early arrivals.
Oh, I am on cloud 21, not even cloud 9. I am in the state of the birth of my father. My father was born in Anniston, Alabama, so I used to come down here to see my grandmother. So Alabama is nothing new, but it's a different kind of spirit in Alabama now. We know the government was shut down, and they just opened back up. And I don't know why they opened back up, because we're going to talk about the economic blueprint, or at least the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to talk about it. So everybody got their experience of what it looks like for the government to shut down on them. And now we're going to give you all the solution from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Sunday at 2 p.m. Central at the square of Tuskegee, Alabama. And I got to start off with a major and big shout-out to my man Tom Joyner, who had the minister on the show, the Tom Joyner Morning Show this morning. The minister was on there. He talked about why we're coming to Tuskegee. He talked about Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. He talked about Rosa Parks being from him, and even Tom Joyner himself being here. And we're just welcome and happy to be in this wonderful state of Alabama, going to Tuskegee. And yes, I'm right here at the Host Hotel in Montgomery, Alabama, and everybody's coming in. We got people all the way. We got my D.C. crew people coming, and we got Chicago's here. Our national student protocol just pulled up. He's checking into the hotel. We got our student minister, Hugh, from San Diego has flown in town. We have all the way from London, England, our brother, Student Minister Hillary is in town, just coming in, and they're rolling in carloads, planes are just coming in to Alabama. So the spirit is just, it's just high. Our the lead of the Twitter army, our brother Jesse, is driving in. We got Brother Jaleel. I think Brother Jaleel may call in with the student conference. He's at Kinko's now, getting everything ready for the students when they come into town. So we're going to have a major student conference on Saturday. We have the farmers coming in town. We got, I mean, it's just so much going on. And for the young people, they understand what I'm getting to say. We're going to be turned up. We're going to be turned up in a righteous way this Holy Day of Atonement. We're going to have a wonderful time, a joyous time for the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. So I'm just excited. I'm just so happy. You know, shortly we will hear from the minister. And the minister, as he talked on Tom Joyner, he mentioned we have had some progress since the Million Man March, and we know that there was many, many adoptions after the Million Man March of black men taking on children. There was a lot of organizations that got a burst of people joining churches, mosques, synagogues. Even black organizations got an increase after the Million Man March. Crime went down, but we know, as he talked about in the Millions More movement, that it seems like that almost never happened because of the violence back in our community. So the minister just said we're here in Tuskegee to talk about putting together a solution and bringing forth the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to stop this want of poverty. And so that's why we're here. That's why we're here early. We just want to be in the city. We want to be in the place. And we thank the Mayor Ford, for opening up the city of Tuskegee to allowing the city of Tuskegee to be the host for the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. So we're ready to go, and, you know, let's get it started.
Yes, sir. And tomorrow, as you mentioned, with the students, with the youth, and, of course, the minister has accomplished a great deal in the last year and a half, traveling around the country and visiting our HBCUs, our historically black colleges and universities. I am so proud to be a graduate. My undergraduate school was Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio. They were just in town a few weeks ago for the football classic. And there is nothing like the experience of a black college. There's just nothing like it. But Minister Farrakhan wants to address our youth and give them instructions and direction on what to focus on in college and what to plan for when they graduate. That's one group that's very important to him, and the student conference, Building a New World, will take place Saturday, October the 19th, at the Tuskegee Municipal Complex in Tuskegee, Alabama. And all students who desire to construct a new world, who desire to solve the problems of our time and to secure a future for unborn generations, are being asked to meet in Tuskegee. And I understand, Brother Terrence, upward of 800 students are expected to come in from HBCUs all over. Now, also on Saturday, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, another crucial group, because remember, Minister Farrakhan referred to Tuskegee University, I think, the seminal fluid of the Kingdom of God. And what makes it that? One of the things that makes it that is land and what has been done historically with land and some of the icons of the black struggle, such as Booker T. Washington, who we are learning through Minister Farrakhan, was completely misrepresented to us as a people, as has been Dr. King. And also it is Tuskegee where Dr. George Washington Carver and his legendary experiments with the peanut and what he was able to do. But the other group that the minister is zeroed in on is our black farmers, a small group and yet a group of men and women without whom we're not going to survive. And so, Dr. Ridgely, since you are with us on the line, you can tell us about the other conference that will be taking place on Saturday in Tuskegee.
Okay, thank you very much,
yes,
Dr. Ava, and Assalamu Alaikum. We're doing it in the same location. They changed the location. They were going to have it at the municipal building, but it was too big for that, so they moved both of them down to the Booker T. Washington High School.
Right.
So the student conference and the farmers conference will be at the Booker T. Washington High School. And
okay.
And then we'll be doing a joint session together at noon
awesome.
Between the farmers and the students, because that section is dealing with the next generation of farmers and agriculture entrepreneurs. So we wanted to bring the two together so that we can show the youth how they can look towards developing a career in farming or agriculture or in industries related to agriculture, and also to the farmers to see the next generation who they can train, because a lot of times their children may not be coming back into farming, but there's other people that might want to get in. So we want to bring those two groups together. And you mentioned about the few number of black farmers, and I just happened to get some statistics so that people can really understand that we've been in a war, and we just didn't know we were at war. And the poor farmers, they didn't know they were in war. They didn't know that they were being attacked. In 1940, there were 681,790 black farmers in America. 681,790 black farmers in America. But by 1974, just 34 years later, there are only 45,594 black farmers in America. That was a drop of 93%. So while we were getting the 1954 Brown versus Education, we were getting the 1964 Civil Rights Act, the 1965 Voting Rights Act, in that same period that it seemed like we was moving on up, they was doing a very covert operation through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, running black farmers off of their land with a whole bunch of tricks and schemes that they continued after 1974. So now the figure now is maybe 18,000 black farmers. They're not really sure. And it's going down. The number's going down. And they're still doing the same thing that they did. in terms of discrimination, in terms of them not being able to get loans, not getting information, not getting access to government programs. And this was researched back in 1964, and it came out in 65, and then they did the same report back in 1992, and the same thing was going on with the same set of discrimination practices in 1992. And now the independent black farmers who are with us to promote this, who are co-sponsors of this conference, they're facing the U.S. Department of Agriculture today, not 10 years ago, not 100, but today, being run off the road, threatened, their businesses being taken from them just because they want to fight against the USDA, who supposed to loan them money but didn't do it, but because they complained about it, their life has actually been threatened. So this is what's going on today, that they're continually to assault black farmers, and the black farmers don't know what is going on, but they have been listening to the time and what must be done. I said, y'all need to listen to the time and what must be done every Saturday.
God, yes.
To hear Minister Farrakhan explain the situation that you are in. You know, I told him, I said, it's just like, let's say you're in a war, and the major type of weapon is a tank, and y'all riding around in a tank, and everybody's shooting at you, either dropping bombs from the air, you know, they're shooting missiles at you. You don't know why they're shooting at you, but you're in a tank. Well, this particular fight, Minister Farrakhan has brought it out to us, is about food. They are poisoning the people, trying to reduce the population by 4 billion people through poisons in our food. And so here you are, black farmer, you're in that tank. You're trying to farm and grow good food for people, whereas the enemy wants to kill the people with the food. So you're in the way. So they got rid of the black farmers because the long-term intent was to get black people in the cities on top of one another, as they have done, and to get us to eat from their kitchen, as we are doing, and they're poisoning us slowly from the poisons that the white farmers are growing, and they're growing the poison not because they want to poison the people, but because they're trying to make a profit, and they don't understand the other things that have been put in with that genetic modification that is destroying the people. They're trying to figure out a way to make a dollar to save their farms, because the returns to farmers, we're going to talk about it at the conference a lot more, how the returns to agriculture are so much lower than the returns on any other industry in America. So really, it would not make any sense for anybody to continue to put money in agriculture with these particular figures unless we can turn them around. And we're going to talk about this Saturday. Very simple, easy way that we can turn all of this around in the favor of both the farmer and the consumer. So we're going to come with some answers. And this is not a gripe session. We have test models, what they call it, prototypes, some things. So now we're ready to come out of the closet with a prototype and make it spread it. Make it real on a larger scale. We think we know what we're doing. We got some other farmers and business people who we think we know, they know what they're doing. We think that they're doing is the right thing. And we're going to bring these people out so we can begin to work with them to continue what they're doing to turn this thing around before too late. So this is not a gripe session. This is not a hype session. This is about taking care of business. And Brother TC, know me when I say I'm ready to take care of business, somebody's going to take care of business that day. Am I right or wrong, Brother TC? Is Brother Terrence still
there?
He must be hobnobbing in the hotel.
That's what I'm picturing in my mind.
He's hobnobbing.
Lobby. Greeting. Well, your comments are a perfect segue into point that we should move to now, which are the words of Minister Farrakhan. And it's so powerful because what he is going to give us on Sunday, he originally had planned to give us a year ago.
That's
in
right.
Charlotte. And, of course, yesterday was the actual anniversary of the Million Man March. And just like Brother Terrence gave a shout-out to Tom Joyner, I want to acknowledge Joe Madison, who I've never met. I have seen him on cable television talk shows, but this is a brother who hosts a radio program with a huge listening audience. He's on Sirius XM satellite radio on the Urban View every morning, I think from 6 to 9. It may be 5 to 9, I think, here in Chicago. But anyway, yesterday on the actual anniversary of the Million Man March, he played all morning excerpts from Minister Farrakhan's speech, and he played the pledge, the recitation of the pledge. Because remember, the actual event was a holy day of atonement.
That's right.
And to your point, Dr. Ridgely, this was not a gripe session. This was not your usual concept of a march. This was not a protest. Minister Farrakhan didn't call black men to protest the U.S. government, but to accept, own, to be oneself, to take responsibility, and to submit to the Creator. And that is what happened. The largest and most peaceful gathering in U.S. history. And the first and only gathering of black men in these numbers. We have to understand there was a time when three black people could not talk with each other in the United States of America. It was against the law. And so we can never overestimate the value and the significance of the Million Man March. And so last year in Charlotte, at the 17th anniversary, Minister Farrakhan was going to present Muhammad's economic blueprint to fight against poverty and want. And he told the audience that day on October the 14th, 2012, he said that he realized, because when we scheduled that event, we didn't know that President Obama, and the Democratic Party were going to have their convention in the same city.
Ooh.
Just a few weeks ahead of the Nation of Islam coming in. And so the minister said, it occurred to him, he said he was sitting in the chair getting his hair cut, and it came to him that he should postpone the delivery of Muhammad's economic blueprint and that he should speak on the presidential election, because remember 2012 was when Barack Obama was running for his second term. And he said since we were there 3 weeks before the election and facing the American electorate and those who would be subjected to the results of the election, he decided that he would address it. And he said here, and I'm going to lift some words, quote, "This election is so very, very important to so many. It is important to the extreme right that President Obama is not reelected for another 4 years. They may say it's about economics, it's about jobs, but we sense that there is a deep racial undercurrent that is found in the Republican Party respecting Brother Obama in this election." And, let me just stop here, brothers and sisters, and say that this speech turned out to be absolutely not so much, I'm not going to say prophetic, it was a declaration of the future. He was sharing the future.
Ooh.
As he receives guidance directly from Allah and his Christ. And what he said to us a year ago is exactly what manifested these past 2 weeks. The minister goes on to say, ever since he has been elected, the Republican right with Rush Limbaugh, Andrew Breitbart, Fox News, members of the Senate and Congress, and many in state legislatures, their whole idea has been to get this man out of the White House and nullify any policy or position that he might come up with that might bring success to his presidency and might possibly give him a second term. It started like an undercurrent, but now it is so overtly hateful and racist in nature that it is polarizing America on the basis of race. So when we look at Mitt Romney, you see the super PAC, a type of independent political action committee which may raise unlimited sums of money from corporations, unions, and individuals, but cannot contribute directly to the party or candidate, and the intensity and commitment of those backing him. No matter how many blunders Mr. Romney may have made, nothing has stopped his march toward defeating President Obama for a second term. On the left, you see a coalition of black, brown, Native American, Asian, Jew, Gentile, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, white, and black, who seem to feel that a second term for Barack Obama, since he cannot come back for a third term, would give him more leverage to enact policies that would be, for the long term, good for the American people. But there is a problem with both views. The racist view doesn't care what Obama says or does for the benefit of America. It will always be played down. But on the Democratic side, the poor, the underserved, the underclass, there's nothing we can see, even if there is a second term, that will radically alter the condition of the masses of blacks and the masses of the poor. During the 2012 election, the focus has been on the middle class. What happened to the poor of this nation? Who will speak for the poor? Don't the poor deserve to be recognized and represented and thought about? The scripture teaches that the poor heard the message of Jesus gladly, Mark 12:37. And is that the reason why the Pharisees and some of the Jews of that day hated him? Could it be that when you speak for the poor, the rich feel left out? The rich feel you are troubling with that from which they get their riches? The rich people get their riches from sucking the lifeblood of the poor. So in this election, it really doesn't matter who wins, because the problem with that person and those around that person, the problems that the person and those around the person have to solve are so great that if radical thought is not put before the electorate, this nation will fail. America is at a point where radical solutions must be applied. And I'm going to stop there and go back to Dr. Ridge, your point. We must listen and study the content of the time and what must be done. But what I just read to you proved in no limit of time, brothers and sisters, that this man, Farrakhan, is in touch with and aligned with and receiving from the divine source the actual message that will save us, because exactly what he said last year is what happened these last 2 weeks. Extreme racist right-wing Tea Party Republicans who are diseased, because racism is a disease.
That's right.
And it eats at the brain. You can't reason with a racist. There's nothing you can say. And the failure on the part of our president, on the part of the talking heads that represent black people or purport to be our mouthpiece on these shows, on cable, and the politicians and the preachers, they can never lead us properly because they don't want to face the truth that Caucasian people have never and will never accept black people as their peers.
Period.
And so when the minute when President Obama talks, their ears shut down.
Ooh.
They are still screaming. So this Tea Party, which has set up in the House of Representatives, the United States Congress, and voted 48 times to repeal what they call Obamacare. Understand this. The Affordable Health Care Act is the law of the land, and they do not accept it because it is the signature legislation of a black man.
Come on.
That's right.
Even though these Tea Party people come from the so-called red states that benefit more from welfare than anybody in America. But they're fighting against it because they can't tolerate a black man being in the White House. And so they brought America to the brink of catastrophe, and they're going to come right back in the near future and do it again.
That's right.
And every time they do this, they are bringing about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated in, as Minister Farrakhan said, his monumental book, The Fall of America. And just as he said in Charlotte, they can't solve their problems, of their problems. This country is literally falling apart because the 1% billionaires that own everything would rather die than contribute a dollar to the American treasury. So with all their billions of dollars, they put their money offshore in banks, and they hire attorneys who are the and CPAs who are the spies of the hierarchy, get all up in everybody's business and tell people how to comply with a structure that was set up to keep the poor poor forever, to keep black people down until, as Dr. Ridgely is telling us, until they can kill us. Because the ultimate goal, as I read to you all from the study by the Carnegie Foundation, American Dilemma, the Negro Problem, the desire of white people is for black people to disappear. Not for Al Sharpton to have a TV show. Not for Barack Obama to be the president. Not for Beyonce and Jay-Z, for Jay-Z to be on the cover of Vanity Fair. Not for the NBA to pay young black male athletes millions of dollars. That is not their vision. And that is why they keep talking about the founding fathers, who all except one or two owned slaves and were rapists, pedophiles, Thomas Jefferson, all these black people named Jefferson. How many white people have you ever met named Jefferson? How many white people do you know named Jackson or Johnson or Washington? Why do we have those names? Because they were slave owners. That's why we have those names. And they keep saying they want to go back to the good old days. What's the good old days? When you hung black people off of trees every day? When you had the experiment at Tuskegee? When the only job we could get after slavery was to be your maid or your butler? That's the good old days to them. But we have so many black people, as the minister has said in the time of what must be done, from his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there are so many members of the black educated class that are in denial. And so these conversations that they're having on television about the Republican Party are useless conversations because they don't get to the root of the problem, which is that Obama is black. Just clear away all this other meaningless discussion. This is not, as the minister said, it's not about economics. It's not about jobs. It's about a black man running the country.
That's right. And that
and
is
so,
like you said.
Let me have Brother Terrence and Brother Dr. Rizzi come in because I'm on this soapbox. And
I just want to say, before we go
into our discussion, real quick, Final Call newspaper, which I told Sister Charlene Muhammad, our beautiful sister that writes for the Final Call, I told her at the beginning of the Trayvon case that we were going to be talking about this over and over again, about a young black man being murdered, and we were going to keep having these stories until we separate. And so Sister Starla Muhammad has a story in the current Final Call, another grieving family. Now it's in Georgia, the family of Kendrick Johnson, and lo and behold, another 17-year-old who mysteriously died at his high school in Valdosta, Georgia, and they can't get any answers, his family, from the sheriff, the deputies, et cetera. Another area where, and Dr. Rizzi knows this area very well, where they still want and live in the good old days. And so they're refusing to talk about this case. And the family has hired Benjamin Crump, who represents Trayvon Martin's family, to look into this. He died in January and was found January 11th, rolled up inside some mats in the gymnasium in his high school in Valdosta, Georgia, and died from, according to the coroner, positional asphyxiation because they said he reached head first into some mats and got stuck trying to retrieve a shoe. So a court ordered his body, court ordered his body exhumed. The family hired a medical examiner to do a second autopsy. Lo and behold, he opens up this child's body, and there's nothing in it. His brain is gone, his organs are gone, and his body is stuffed with newspaper. So can keep doing these stories every week, and it'll be more and more of us that this is happening to. It's the food, it's the air, it's the water, it's the police, and it's each other, okay, that are making this happen. And we're going to continue, as Dr. King called it, derivative crime. We're going to keep imitating our killers unless and until we leave them. So I just wanted to make sure get that.
Terrence, you going first, or am I going?
I don't know. My question is, am I in Alabama, or is she in Alabama? Because she caught the Holy Ghost. So I'm trying to figure out, did we do a time switch, a time warp? Because I think that was the pre-lecture to of this Sunday. And I will say this before I let you take it on what she was saying. I do want to jump back a couple of minutes back, because I have to get this out before I forget, that, you know, tomorrow Tuskegee is also opening up his doors for any students that are interested in going to a college. So they will be doing that before the student conference. So Tuskegee, if those young people that want to go, there's be an open, a special tour of the school if you want to go to a HBCU. And I say that because, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have the black college experience. And if no one has ever had that black college experience, I personally invite you in 2 weeks to the greatest black college on the planet, and Dr. Ridgeley can back me up on that, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. Notice I said agriculture. Since we're having an agriculture conference, student conference, I come from that university, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, who will be here as a part of the student conference. I did want to say that. But the key thing that you just laid out, Dr. Ava, is, and the minister tweeted out a while back about you have to give a radical situation or a radical solution because we're dealing with a radical situation. And the reality is, as you named all of the stuff that you went through, the athletes, the Vanity Fair, nowhere did you say at any point that we own any of the positions that we're in. We don't own the teams that we play for. We don't own the station, TV station that we work for. We don't own the newspaper that we are on the cover of, but we're always the mannequins and the dressing, as you have talked about. We are the good-looking mannequins for white institutions to make the institution look as though they're a good black organization. Just as I remember, I don't know if it was African Pride or whatever the health product, not health product, but the cosmetic product that wasn't African owned, so they had to have the little symbol of the black lady to let you know, because they're always pretending to be down for the cause, but in truth, they're only down for their own liberation and their own survival. As the minister talked about, we got to remember that they are scared and fearful of their annihilation by being together with us just genetically. So as you said, it's not that they just don't want to be with us. It's their mere existence that they don't. Because if they do, then that means they will no longer exist. So, of course, they don't want us in existence because that means ultimately they're out of here. But I do understand that we got to not continue to fight a fight if that's not winnable, because they're not compatible and they do not want to be around or with us, so we have to do something for self, and that's why the lecture on Sunday is so critical, because we have to set up an economic blueprint for us.
That's right. Dr. Ridgely, and after you, we're going to go to the phones. We're at 347-324-5091.
You know, one thing that's great about Elevated Places, we get some great perspectives from our callers and from the panel on these very important issues. And I just want to bring back up this analogy I make about the time and where we at. The sheep, the sheepdog, and the evil ship. Okay, the workers, the poor people, the black, we're the sheep. And then you have the so-called middle class, these white people who think they're white, they're the sheepdog. But then there's somebody running them, who we found out from studying this area down here in South Georgia, that even though the big white farmers down here look big to us, they were the children of the overseers of these farms, but the people who owned the farms lived in Macon and Augusta. That's what you have up there in Augusta, the golf champions, the masters. So the masters lived up in Augusta and owned the land down here and had these white boys running it and flipping us in line. So you the sector of the sheepdog who they want you as a sheep to think that they're the main dog, but they're not the main dog. Now, this year is the 100th anniversary of one of the major institutions of the evil shepherd, and that's the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was set up very clandestinely in 1913, and it actually took over the money supply. The money-making ability of the country was given over to them, and we are in debt because every time they print money for the government got to borrow the money and pay them interest on it. The Federal Reserve is a private bank. It is a private bank, and we, the government, borrows money from them every time they need money. They borrow it from the Federal Reserve and pay interest on it. So the debt ceiling had to be opened up again because they got to get in more debt. But the issue is how this debt could be paid back.
That's right.
Exactly.
The GBO, the Government Accounting Office, the GAO, said that by the year 2042, all of the money, all of the tax money, the collected, will be going towards paying the interest on the debt. I repeat
just
that.
The interest.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
2042, all the tax money. So there'll be no money left for housing, for roads, for military, for nothing. All will be going towards the payment on the debt. So they're increasing the debt ceiling to get further and further in debt, but they're not telling you who they're indebted to. They're indebted to the Federal Reserve. Now, the evil shepherd has to keep the sheepdog happy by giving them some raw meat every now and then. and we is that raw meat. So when they can go and kill a black person with immunity, shoot down a sister in the back in Washington, D.C. with immunity, and they feel good. They're like they're the big dog, that they is in charge. So the evil shepherd gives them us to eat every now and then. And then the evil shepherd forces us to integrate. The integration came from these so-called Jews in our civil rights organization. We didn't want integration. We wanted equal opportunity. We wanted to have the same school books, the same amount of money in the school system for our children. But no, they said, the only way you're going to get that, you got to have a side-by-side white folk. That was not our plan. That was their plan.
That's right.
And now they put us right in conflict with the sheepdog. And so the sheepdog and the sheep be fighting while the evil shepherd is playing both sides of the game. And only a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has enough testicular fortitude to tell us who these evil bankers are, who these international bankers are, naming them, calling them out. So we should be upset when our people are killed. But we must remember that those who are smiling in our faces, claiming they're our friends, they're the ones who sit them sick those dogs on us. So we
have got to listen
to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and let him lead us, because he sees these evil shepherds. I don't see them like he sees them. We need someone who can see, someone who we can follow, someone who can fight. And indeed, the way he's doing this fight, he's going to make them come out and do their own dirty work. And when they do, Allah got something for them. But this is such a and we are waiting to hear the next direction from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March, which was definitely a day of atonement. And we need to atone since the atonement, sister. We've done a lot of things to each other as black folk, and we need to atone for all over again so we can get the blessings from Allah.
That's right.
That's right. And we still have to kill the dog, too.
Come on.
You still got to take out the dog, even though the owner sent him out there.
Uh-oh.
You still got to take him out to get to the owner.
That's right. Come on.
Ain't nothing going to get me up off the dog.
Killing the bite on you.
I'll tell you right now. The minister is going to go after the shepherd. I'm going to go after the dog. So he has time to deal with the shepherd.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, we got a game plan going on here.
Wow.
Because I've had enough of the dog barking, okay? See, the dog is so loud, people can't hear the minister.
Go ahead. Because of the barking of the dog.
So the dog has to be silent. So I'm going to front the dog off every chance. Now.
Go ahead.
Let's go to, speaking of brilliance on the panel, brilliance on the callers, Dr. Salaam is calling in. We got callers lining up to participate. Dr. Salaam, happy Holy Day of Atonement. Welcome.
Happy Holy Day of Atonement to the family. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Oh, Dr. Ava, you could have just... I had to kick my shoes off and just stretch back and just wanted to listen to you for the rest of the
week. All praise be to Allah.
Teaching.
Yeah, if this weekend is going to be anything like this, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
I had talked to Dr. Ridgely last time and mentioned that I wanted to mention something about the black farmers. I have to say I've been, I guess, ignorant in a lot of areas when it comes to really understanding this. I didn't look into it the way I should have. But this trial, this case for the black farmers, is the president still Gary Grant for the black farmers?
Yes.
Okay. And brother, because I have some avenues through the American Bar Association, I was able to dig up this case in this trial, and it is mind-boggling. This black farmers case, and President Obama signed it on Wednesday, December 8, 2010. This Pickford
2.
Second settlement? Yeah.
Right.
Pigment 2?
Yeah,
wow.
Pickford 2.
But look, I looked into this thing, and I would just like to read just a little bit of this. It says, "Dear Pickford claimant, finally, a decision. Congress has passed a bill that will allow those who file late for the Pickford class action black farmers lawsuit to seek damages. One drawback to this congressional action is that there is a $100 million cap to pay more than 6,000 claims. Now, I can stop right there.
Yeah.
I mean, when you divide that into a million and then you got to pay taxes on it, and then they're going to look into your credit files and see if there are any charge-offs, liens, anything like that, your debt. This is just deceptive intelligence. They may have gotten a settlement, but it's never been fair. And it's nothing that's ever happened to us that has been fair. And then when I looked up this attorney firm, Chestnut, Sanders, Sanders, Petaway, and Campbell, LLC, we got to go right back to them. And then the president said, Grant said, in the past Pickford case, attorney fees were paid by the government. But the new legislation does not reopen the Pickford case, so that means any excess fees has to come through them. Brother, did they get any money at all?
The farmers?
Yeah.
Very little. Very little. At the first set, Pickford won, we estimated, we think we found out that out of $1.5 billion, $600 million of that went to the lawyers and the adjudicators. $600 million went to the lawyers and the adjudicators, and then they divided up the rest of it amongst the 13,000 farmers that prevailed. But then there was another 6,000 farmers who did not prevail, and out of that were the farmers. The game plan that they did is they opened up the case to farmers and those who attempted to farm, and then gave money to those who attempted to farm, but didn't give money to those who did farm and did not relieve the debt of those who did farm so they can come back and take 3,000 farmers down again without anybody knowing. And this all happened after Pickford 1. Pickford 2, the same type of thing is going on now in terms of people saying that they were farmers and they didn't get paid. And they know people who were given application who never farmed. Somebody just gave the application and said, fill this out so you get some money. Okay? So this has been a game. And this is what I'm going to talk about Saturday. This is a history since we bought out 16 million acres of land of the U.S. Department of Agriculture working to take that land back through stealth because they dare not take it outright because they know we would fight, especially as it came in World War I and World War II. So they have, through stealth and technology, taken back the land and made the world believe that the black farmers could not farm, that something was wrong with them intelligently, they were lazy, they couldn't deal with the new agriculture. This has been all a dirty, stinking
right.
dog.
And it goes back to
what? It, and the minister got it. The minister owned it. He's a farmer now. And Sister Minister Ava, he got his teeth both in the sheepdog and the evil shepherd.
He does. He does. The Minister Farrakhan is a farmer.
Right.
Literally. You know, there is so much that we are being allowed to witness in the minister in terms of the potential of a human, a single person, what a single human being can achieve and do it in the capacity of a student.
That's right.
Of a student. You know, he has mastered being a student, and he's teaching us that you can't become the master of any field of endeavor until you master being a student.
That's right.
And one of the pervasive things that he has been teaching us in the Nation of Islam is how to be a student. Because we have lost the understanding and science of how to learn.
Come on.
We don't know how to learn. And this is why the enemy is able to saturate the globe with information and our condition doesn't change.
That's right.
Because now we have oceans of information, but we don't know how to convert the information into knowledge and wisdom because we don't know how to learn. We don't know words. We don't know the critical importance of understanding what a word means in a sentence. And we've been led by the slave master into phrases like, oh, I got the gist of it. Well, if you just got the gist of it, you didn't get nothing. Because the law doesn't deal in fractions. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, half a belief is fatal. And so Minister Farrakhan is teaching us how to learn. And what the acquisition of truth and knowledge can do and the power that a person can exert. And like you're saying, Dr. Ridgely, that makes you in turn, as our Minister of Agriculture, to go out and pull in what is left of the farmers.
Right.
And that's all we need is a few. But without this teaching, without those of us who say we accept this teaching, we have to now go and be a bridge to our people. Because we're going to need, we're not in a spook religion.
That's
and
right.
There are certain actual physical needs that we
right.
will require to be independent. That is a reality. And I don't know how many times the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to put it on the cover of Muhammad Speaks. When you go in the archives and look at those old papers, when I was in Baltimore looking through those papers in Student Minister Carlos' office, and all throughout, we must have some land to call our own.
Right.
You know, and so that's very real. And thank you, Dr. Salam, for
and I want to say,
having us.
You know, in defense of Dr. Salam, you know, he said that, you know, he just got into studying about this case about the black farmers. He really wished
yes,
he'd got into it earlier. Well, that's the whole point of the game that's been played on people, is that you're not even given an idea about a problem, so you don't have a question
exactly.
to solve it because you don't even know. And this one part of learning, you must have a question. You must have a problem.
Exactly.
But if you're not given the problem, if you don't even know that the problem exists, then there's no need to seek out information to solve the problem. So the game plan is to keep us asleep.
Right.
To keep us asleep to the problem so that we don't even know that we have one. So now the Minister Farrakhan has brought this out, that we do have a problem
right.
with our food. Now we get people like Dr. Salam and others going back. So let's see what's going on with these black farmer situation. Let's see what's going on with our food. And all of a sudden,
yes.
a ream of information will come
right.
down. Because you
None
got the
of
right.
us knew anything. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, this is why God had to come. I mean, that's the point. We're in a learning
yes.
mode. You know, I didn't know either. Who knew? As I say, who knew? You know.
That's right.
And the other thing it demonstrates, though, is the futility of thinking that we will ever get justice.
Come on.
We're really coming to the end of constantly going over their wickedness. I mean, it's pretty clear now. They're writing books on it themselves, you know, and exposing it through all. That's why all these movies are coming out, you know,
right.
about slavery and all this. And frankly, the Republican Party's condition right now, where they're breaking up into subgroups. You know, there's at least three separate groups that are at odds, because this government shutdown came as a result of not unity in the Republican Party, but
right.
division
right.
in the Republican Party. And rogues like this Senator Cruz from Texas, who cares about nothing but himself, who the Tea Party sent to the Senate. And going to your point, Dr. Ridgely, about the inability to see the shepherd, and white people suffer from being constantly directed, poor whites. They're always looking at the black man. They were trained like that to
right.
always look at us as their problem.
Right.
And Ted Cruz is their hero. But
they're
so dumb and ignorant because they're blinded by racism, they don't even realize his wife is an executive of Goldman Sachs.
who got paid 2008.
Come on.
Come on.
This dude is a graduate of Harvard Law, okay?
Mm.
So we're going to go to the phone. Sister Joella is on from Washington, D.C., the seat of all of this. Sister Joella, let's see.
Yes,
got,
ma'am.
Okay, got
Aslam Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, sister, and welcome, Brother Ridgely and Brother Terrence and all the team. I'm just so happy to be on tonight. As you were saying, Sister Ava, we have to laugh sometimes to keep from being so serious.
That's right.
By your killing, the dog. don't do that. Don't do that because Brother Ridgely is going to need some of those dogs to help him hunt out all of those foxes down there. I just want to say I was driving today and I was listening to the minister's tape that he did in Charlotte last year. And you are so absolutely correct in terms of saying he is just a man of wisdom to the point, I don't have the words, but just predicting what we are experiencing today. Just a year ago, he said this, and all of this is now becoming, reality. And I just want to comment about what Sister Ava said. All of these rich old people, I think the messenger said one time that the people would get tired of their congressmen and they would pull them on the back of a truck, if I'm not mistaken. But you can see how they even do the military, the people who are killed and supposedly not being able to get a proper burial. And, I mean, they just don't care anymore. So that tells us that what the messenger said, the fall, I mean, it is here. So
right.
This is what we have to continue to look at, and I pray that Allah will help us to see each other this weekend in Alabama. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wow.
Wa alaykum salam.
Excellent point. Yeah, again, this disease of racism and the hate that comes out of it, they're turning on each other, which is a form of chastisement in and of itself. And as Sister Joella pointed out, the dirt that they did to their own people,
come on,
who constitute the majority of public aid assistance.
Come on.
You know, and for soldiers to be sent to fight wars, not for a country, but for multinational corporations.
Come on.
I mean, it's stunning to me that veterans come back from these wars and can't get a job. That's inconceivable. The wickedness of that, the selfishness, you know, that movie, that story they have about Ebenezer Scrooge, it just makes him look like a saint. The way these people live in reality,
right.
They don't care. So it's just, we're going to go to Brother Lewis, and we thank you, Brother Lewis. Welcome, you're live on the air. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, we thank you all. Thank you so much. Happy Day of Atonement. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, and thank you for your research and careful attention, you know, to what is going on in our environment.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for being a warrior. Thank you all. I mean, you said so much powerful stuff. I listen every week. I don't always call in, but what you just said about the dogs is really touching to my heart and soul, really, because silence is a form of consent, and the dogs are barking loud. And see, I hear us talk sometimes about the brown germ, but we got to understand that one of the manifestations of the brown germ is these Uncle Tom Negroes that we give a pass.
That's right.
And
that's
Harriet
what I'm talking
Tubman,
about.
You know, she had to have a pistol because some of the brown germs want to turn around and turn her in. And she had to march them to freedom with a pistol to the back of their head.
That's right.
That's right.
Because, you know, at some point, and we have to, you know, we're talking about the time and what must be done. At some point, some of these people have to be checked. And the thing about it is, it may not be the position for everyone to do it, but God is my witness, I ain't got no problem doing it. I really don't, you know, I don't even want to take a picture with Uncle Tom. I don't want to be nowhere around them because I've seen what they've done through. I don't want to smile with them. Let somebody else do that. I want to work with people who are working to get a land to call our own. Now, really, we just got so much to celebrate and to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for being the kind of man that he's been and the kind of man that we desire to be. I can't wait to get to Georgia, Alabama, thinking about you, Dr. Ridgely. You said something last week, Sister Ava, about our sister who got shot out and murdered in front of the White House.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you notice, in Colorado, the Joker who went into a theater armed to the teeth and murdered all of those people
yes.
out alive. If
yes.
you notice, the man who murdered a federal judge and shot Gabrielle Giffords in the head, they brought him out alive. They said he may have a mental problem or something. But here's a black woman that drives up there and they riddled a car with bullets. And black men
right.
sitting around docile trying to explain it. You know, these are the type
of
things.
Oh, my God.
That just literally make what black woman should have respect for us if we could just sit by and let them explain that and then talk about integration and how we want to be with them. I want to say this and stop and just listen. You know, you're talking about two points. One, you mentioned about how they cut the brother's body open and found paper in it. Well, they got pharmaceutical representatives in Louisiana now dressed in little mini skirts and nice little clothes, how they go around the pharmacy people, asking poor black people if they would like to sell one of their kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So they're junking black people now.
Come on.
And we have to really wake our people up, stop this silence, this little docile go-along-to-get-along crap, practicing integration on the down-low. And really back Minister Farrakhan, when people come here from all over the world, they bring out the happy Negroes. And people who donate money and would do things to help us get away from our enemy, they don't do it because they show them all the good Negroes and all of us who are conscious are silent. Well, we got to end that. I love y'all.
We love you, too. And,
that's right,
I guess we all have our specialty, and I'm with Brother Lewis. We're going to be the dog catchers.
they
actually anger me more than white people do.
Come on.
They arouse in me almost like a bile and a venom that is inexplicable, you know. And I just can't deal with it. I can't because it's an impediment to the minister's work. And what really I find so despicable about that group, they were given the opportunity to just be quiet.
Come on.
You know, if you're going to sell us out, at least shut your mouth, okay? And do it like Brother Lewis said on the down low, because Brother Lewis wants a hotline to report integrationists. And I think that day will come. You know, because we're going to ferret that out. We're going to ferret them out because they're everywhere. Because just even when you say you accept Islam, that don't mean everything, you know.
Come on.
But the Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, the famous neurosurgeon, who's a Republican, who said the other day that, quote, Obamacare is the worst thing that's happened to America since slavery. And then he went on to say to his all-white audience, except another dog like himself was sitting there, one other dog, he said, in fact, it is slavery. So to compare, to take 400 years of suffering,
come on.
The worst crime against humanity in the annals of history, and compare it to a black man's effort to provide health care or make it at least accessible to those who are not able to get it, and to connect those two based on race to appease some white people. That's to me, that is treason of the highest level. and we just have a lot of those. So thank
well,
you so much.
I never understood the entire Negroes until I got a dog. I keep telling you on that. And that dog, that dog, you ain't got to tell the dog what to do. The dog knows what to do to please the master. You know, a lot of times we
yes,
run against Negroes, and you think, that must be an agent. He ain't no agent. He just loves our folk, and he knows exactly what to do. I got an argument with a Negro. He told me to read the Bible. He gave me the verses. I tried to read the next line. He said, no, don't read the next line. Wait a minute. What do you mean? You know, in other words, you know where I'm going with the next line that you told me to read. So they know what they're doing, sister. And I've been trying to hold Brother Lewis back now. Now, all you Negroes out there, y'all are lying because I've been holding Brother Lewis Ali back because he's going
to
get
well, that's why
Lewis.
They need to be dealt with because they know what they're doing. And it's not essential to their lives to be a voice of condemnation.
That's right.
Against a man who is doing his best and laying down his life, and I'm talking about Minister Farrakhan.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to take it upon yourself to condemn him. At least be quiet. And some of them are not willing to do that.
And Dr. Ava and Dr. Ridge, I'm going to have to get ready to head out of here to
get prepared
for tomorrow. But I will say this about the dogs. You know, it's amazing how a person can go in his house when they got some good trained dogs. They can go to the house and go to sleep. And they know when the dog starts barking, they just go see what it is. But they, you know, they spy and then they let the dogs keep on doing what they do. And it's always amazing if the dog doesn't bark and somebody gets close to the house, then they'll spank the dog or they'll, you know, abuse the dog. So what you doing? What's wrong? And once the dog, you know, doesn't get the approval of the master or they slipped up, then the dog, you know, goes right back out and barks harder or want to bite harder because they want to please their master. So it's almost the same way as we're talking about is that these people or these, I can't call them brothers and sisters because they're not being a brother and sister to us when they're defending our open enemy. But they
bark louder.
And the funny thing is they bark louder and they have a greater bite than the one who sends them. So we have leaders that come out yelling and screaming and pontificating and trying to break down why we should love them, why we should defend them, why we should get along with them more and stronger and more articulate and educated than the one that they're protecting. The one they're protecting ain't saying nothing, don't have no power, don't have no strength, don't even have no authority, but they have taught and trained their dogs so well and fed them the wrong food so well that these dogs just go and they just waiting to go tear up their master's enemy. So we, as the minister wrote the open letters, we are sending you a cease and desist letter, and as the minister said, stand down. Because you do not want, as the minister, and I recall the minister in Tampa, and I paraphrase, you know, if he gave the orders, and I remember him saying that in Tampa, that if he gave the orders, you know what would happen by the next morning for those that are enemies to the rise of our people. So they may just want to rest because I am part of the hip-hop generation, I am very clear that there's an army that you do see and there's an army that you don't see.
Better believe
and don't
it.
Be asleep that these brothers out here that you have problems with them, that you have issues with, this black-on-black balance, if the minister gave an order for those that are in the streets that are listening to Minister Farrakhan, don't sleep, he gave that order, you will see an army rise up. So I'm saying to the little sheepdogs, the Negroes, the so-called wannabes, be clear that you are still around because it's grace and mercy that allows you to even breathe and speak the way you're speaking. Because the minister is no joke. He is backed by God, and he's backed by an army that you definitely see, and you will soon see the army that you don't see, and that's the one that he's going to be talking about on the time of what must be done very soon. But come on down here to Alabama and join us for the 18th anniversary of Million Man March, and stay tuned to Elevated Places because Sister Ava's going to drop some more, and I'm predicting it. I'm prophesizing it. She got some more in store, so you don't want to miss any show of Elevated Places. So I'll
see
y'all in Tuskegee.
Thank you. All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. We'll go right back to the phones. The callers are coming on quickly. And we've got Brother Robert has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Robert. You're live on Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. It's always a pleasure to listen to you and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence and the callers. And
yes.
I was doing some research last week on the protocol number 6. For those who may have the protocol to the Learn Elders of Zion, number 6 should be read where land is concerned. They say landowners are their second biggest enemy, only second to the truth. See, truth exposes the international bankers and the Zionists. They don't have carnal weapons to go against them as of yet, and they fear the truth and independent landowners. So it's a blitz on the black farmers. They not only don't want them to, they not only don't want them to get their award that they won in federal court, the international bankers, someone mentioned the Federal Reserve of 1913, well, now they really control all the money. And they are holding that money back from the black farmers so that they can't modernize their equipment in their farm. And they're doing it not so much so that Monsanto can continuously poison us, but land equates with independence. There can be no independence if you don't have no land that you can call your own.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And once you have land, you already have the base of real wealth and power and independence. We're going to go
right
to Sister Anna. Let me get her mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Anna, who has a comment. You're live on Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam.
You're live. Yes, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
I'm sorry, I'm holding on mute. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We're here. Can you hear us?
Sister Ava?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. You're live.
I was just calling to see if you received that monstrosity of a package I sent you.
Oh, is that?
I'm Sister Anna from number 6.
Yes, ma'am. You know what? I got it right in front of me right now. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure
you
received it because
it was at the place where you sent it, and I won't say where, but it was there, and a wonderful, loyal, dedicated believer held on to it. And I just got it 2 days ago.
Okay. I was just wondering because
profound.
I said the next time I send you something, it won't be so wordy.
No, it's not. But, no. It's you're going to hear this coming out, you know, and just so the rest of the listeners, we don't close everybody out. But what you sent me is very powerful, and it further proves in no limit of time what Dr. Rizzi just said, what Brother Robert just said, and I'm looking right at something about Mr. Rothschild. And how this whole system that we're in is deception. And we're being induced to surrender real wealth in exchange for a promise, just like is in the lessons.
Yes.
And one of the forms they do it in is bank deposits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you put up money, which, as the minister said, currency comes out of a state of mind. It has no intrinsic value. Money doesn't have any intrinsic value. You can't eat it. You can't sit under it when it rains. It's a medium of exchange, and its value is determined by those in power who have real wealth. And you have to induce the society to attach value to paper for it to work. And that's what the Rothschild family did.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, as Dr. Ritchie keeps pointing out about the Federal Reserve and us thinking because federal is in there that it's government, and it's not. It's private. And one of the things it's doing is controlling this economy by printing paper. And when you print too much paper and it's not backed by real wealth, real value, you bring the quality of life down. You bring down the value of the paper. And that is exactly what has happened to those of us who are called consumers. You know, and one of the things that we were induced to do as black people in particular, every time we start to gain traction in this society and become what they call middle class, they introduce new forms of ways to make us poor again.
That's
for
right.
example, credit. You know,
right.
when I was a child in the 50s and 60s, people, my parents saved up for things. They, we had what you call layaway, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want a coat, you put it in layaway. You put some money on it, and you pay on it every week.
Right.
Until you've paid for it. And when you take that coat home, it belongs to you. People
right.
saved up money to buy a car.
That's
they
right.
put a large down payment. When you see these commercials, no down payment, and that attracts you. You know, oh, I can go get that car without putting anything down. That's just put you deeper in debt. If you
right.
have to borrow something, you should pay as much as you can.
That's right.
On it, because you're going to be in debt. And so they introduced in the 80s this thing called equity, an equity line, where
right.
you put up your home.
Right.
And the equity that all of your work has built up in your home. So you've been in the house 15 years, and you're paying it down. Now you have what's called equity or vested interest in that house, and they lure you into, oh, we'll give you some money, and you put the equity in your home up. And you borrow against the most valuable thing you have, which is your home, and go out and do what? Get credit cards and start running around charging up material items. And now you exchange your house, which has real
more.
Value, for
more.
Credit, which is an illusion.
Yep.
And so all of these people did that in the 80s and 90s, and that was one of the things that led to this economy falling apart. But, yes, I'm so glad you called, Sister Anna. That I'm going to give you a call. I got your phone number, and thank you so much. But Dr. Ridgely, she sent some information that's right in line with what you're talking about. We got Sister Carol. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava and Dr. Ridgely. And Brother Terrence, you just dropped a bomb. I just want to say, can you hear me? This is Sister Carol in Richmond.
Yes, ma'am. But
yes, ma'am.
Brother Terrence had to leave. He dropped the bomb and left us.
He, I'm telling you, he was feeling
he did,
because
didn't
I'm he? down. I want you to put me on the list for the dog killers. I can always count on you, Dr. Ava, to say the right thing. I mean, and go just zero in on the problem. That's a big part of our problem. But also,
yeah.
I love hearing you and Dr. Ridgely. I'm on your line whenever I don't forget. But I'm also...
Yeah.
We're raising them up, Brother Terrence. I just want you to know if he can hear. I have grandchildren, and if you see my Twitter account, anyone, there's a little boy on there with fatigues on. He's about 4 months old with fatigues
oh,
on.
Yes. So ready to go, right?
Getting them ready. We're getting them ready. I'm not going to take up your time. I just love you, and you zero
oh, we
in
love
on
you
the problem. And Dr. Carson, I'm glad you dealt with that
oh my
because
God.
I thought he
Woo.
Right. I couldn't believe it. Here I'm pointing them out, telling my grandsons, you know, you can do it. You saw the story about how his life you know, began, and now he's a surgeon, but he's crazy.
Exactly.
Now,
but that's the flaw. That's the flaw in the educational system. And Dr. Ridgely and I, that's why we have this little title they confer, doctor. And as the minister said, we all got masters, and they can't master nothing.
That's
you know,
right.
But the point is, we're blessed that we come from families and parents and backgrounds that we were mm-hmm. able to extract some of their education and still be able to see the light and recognize the true shepherd, the voice of the true shepherd,
that's
Minister
true.
Louis Farrakhan. You know, because
yes.
Carson is a prime example of what happens
right.
when you go through their system, because they vet you at every level to make sure you're
right.
not thinking independently. Like Brother Terrence said, Brother Robert, when he called in from the protocols of the Elders of Zion, their enemy is the independent land, black landowner.
That's right.
That's their enemy. A black man owning land? Oh, my God, no way.
That's right.
And if you look at most of those lynchings that I
That's
teach
right.
about, the most violent of them and the leveling of these black towns, it was all over land. It was envy and jealousy and hatred of black people owning their own land, their own homes, and having a measure of comfort.
Well, you know,
and they
everything
still feel
starts
like
with
that
the land
today.
And ends with the land. Everything starts with the land and ends with the land. And so the enemy knows as long as you got some land, you can stand. So he's taking us off, putting us on concrete, make things very shaky for us. Now we got to go back to the land to build a base so that we can be independent, survive, and be wealthy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, only if you have some land to start off from and to build from.
And I can't think of a better way. And those callers we missed, we will get to you next week to talk about what happened this week. But that's the ultimate message from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we're going to get through his apostle, his appointed and anointed, Minister Louis Farrakhan, specific direction. And I love what you said, Dr. Ridgely. These conferences that we're holding now, and we'll have them in Detroit, because we got another major announcement for Detroit that we're going to get from Minister Farrakhan, because we're pretty much done talking in terms of trying to persuade people to see the light when the light is clear and visible. And
right.
so now we know that those that reject it, it's not out of ignorance, it's a conscious choice that
right.
they have made. You're not going to tell me a neurosurgeon doesn't understand what the minister's saying. And he chose to go with the Tea Party, knowing they hate black. All right? But you're right up there in there laughing and shaking hands. So that's a casualty of the war. But as you said, Dr. Ridgely, these are not gripe sessions or pontificating. We're getting down now to brass tacks. What are we bringing to the table? We need to all find our lane, our area of specialty, whether you're a liver cell, kidney cell, lung cell. We need everybody. Because
right,
we're about
fight
to move on our exodus. Yes, sir.
That's right.
So thank you, Dr. Ridgely. Brother Terrence, who's, I'm sure, busy greeting people right now. Sister LaDonna. Brother Ashad Muhammad just sent me a text. He has arrived safely in Montgomery. And
thank you
him,
for listening to
Rona,
and participating in
Elevated
Places with Dr. Ava.
May Allah bless us all.
Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.